This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're tuned into the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik and Julia Jacobs. Today, we have two stories for you. So this week, personal accounts have been surfacing on social media about alleged incidents of physical and emotional abuse at a local private arts school. But when it comes to private extracurricular or enrichment classes that we send our children to, there are often few formal guidelines. So how the children are treated or taught can differ greatly, including questions of discipline. But in these settings, how do we draw the line between disciplining a child and abuse, and what should we do when that line is crossed? We'll be discussing that.
Yes, and in our second story, legendary film music composer Ennio Morricone passed away last Monday, so we will be celebrating his storied career by discussing some of his accolades and how he continues to influence and inspire people to this day. So if you have any thoughts on either of these stories, do tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Share your thoughts, share your questions. We're happy to hear from you.
Yes, so our first story, so as I mentioned earlier, over the last few days, several stories have been surfacing on Facebook about incidents of alleged abuse at a local private arts institution which gives lessons. So it began with one post by a former student who described a recent incident, and this was followed by other former students sharing their own personal accounts. And in these stories, they alleged that they were subjected to an abusive environment by their teacher as they attended classes over the years. According to the post, the behavior included physical acts like hitting or slapping, as well as persistent emotional abuse. The former students also described the long-term psychological impacts on them of having gone through this over the years of their learning with the arts school.
Yes, but as this is still a developing story, we won't really get into further into the details. However, we do think it's important to talk about how our children might be treated when it comes to such private extracurricular or enrichment type classes. So, you know, many of us send our children to various classes of this type, whether it's dance, music, drama, language, you know, and because they usually run privately by individuals or small organizations, they can vary hugely in terms of formal guidelines. And as many of these are not required to register as education institutions, they only require a business license to operate.
Yeah, and not to mention, actually, there are also so many teachers who teach informally with no license at all.
That's right.
And I mean, you and I, we grew up probably attending some of these as well, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So as far as we can tell, there seems to be no official guidelines from the government on how these sorts of classes should be treating their children or, you know, anything on child safety. Therefore, there are very few ways to hold these places accountable for how they treat their students, especially when it comes to discipline. So in these settings, how do we draw the line between disciplining a child and abuse?
Yes, and this is particularly so when in our society, many still operate under the assumption that harshly disciplining a child is for their own good. You know, that it's tough love, you know, it builds character, teaches respect, you know, that we shouldn't spoil our children and so on.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's very pervasive. I want to say an Asian, I don't know if it's just Asian.
It feels like it.
But
you're right, it could be seen in other cultures as well. But I guess in Asian culture, it's that idea that you shouldn't then question the methods being used, or that the child isn't allowed to speak up against the so-called elder.
Yeah, or if you don't do it, then they're just going to become soft and they're not going to excel and be the best of the best in that sense.
That's right. And I know when I was growing up and listening to accounts of other, in my case, piano teachers, And I always heard stories about this, a few particular piano teachers who were supposed to be really good, but yeah, they treat the students, I mean, you know, they'll smack you and everything, but you know, the justification was, yeah, but they're really good and the students get their distinctions and all that, you know, it doesn't justify it.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to the students now and find out how they feel about it.
Absolutely. And so to be clear, the Child Act 2001 does define clearly what constitutes as child abuse. These are also summed up in the Ministry of Health's My Health portal. So according to the portal, child abuse is generally categorized into four types, which are physical, emotional, sexual, and neglect. So for the purposes of this particular conversation, we're looking at physical and emotional abuse. Physical includes physical injury as a result of punching, beating, kicking, biting, shaking, throwing, stabbing, I think that goes without saying, choking, hitting, burning, or any other form of harming a child. And it is considered abuse whether the person actually intended to hurt the child or not. And it may may also be the result of over-discipline or physical punishment. And meanwhile, emotional abuse includes things like patterns of belittling, habitual scapegoating, denigrating, humiliating, and rejecting treatment. And cases of child abuse, when reported, are handled by the child protector under the Department of Social Welfare.
Yeah, and even just listening to that list, it's pretty sad to realize that we actually hear of some of these things being done to children,
right,
you know, at classes and lessons, and it's in the name of discipline, don't we?
Yep.
And in some cases, the parents don't know if it's happening at all. In other cases, they don't realize it actually constitutes abuse. And in some cases, I think the parents themselves think it's good for their children.
Yes, I think there may be some element of that competition, I guess, wanting your child to be the best, and therefore the methods justify the results.
Exactly.
Or the results justify the methods, the other way around. But to get a clearer idea of how abuse can happen within these sorts of settings and what can be done, we have on the line Datin P.H. Wong, who is a child rights advocate with Childline. Thank you for joining us, Datin Wong. So within the context of private extracurricular or enrichment classes, such as dance, music, or language classes that we send our children to, how do we define what constitutes abuse?
Actually, abuse is defined across different settings, all sorts of settings. It doesn't stick to there's a certain definition just because it's a tuition center or an enrichment center. So as in the Child Act, 201, child abuse cuts across a wide range. And even the suspicion of child abuse, you don't have to prove it, it's enough for someone to report to JKM or to the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't do that because they're afraid. Yeah, of course, it's got to do with the family, it's got to do with the school reputation and stuff like that. So I think the definition definitely cuts across all sorts of settings.
But if we were to try and understand what it looks like in these particular settings, and you know, it comes with a perception that some amount of slapping or scolding is acceptable because it's good for the child. But how do we draw the line between discipline and abuse?
Actually, for me personally, any form of hitting is abuse, right? And even under the law, it's defined as any form of hitting, slapping, pinching, whatever, is already abuse. Yeah, but in the context of like in Malaysia and Asian countries, we think of it as discipline, caning and stuff like that. But actually, if we look at the law, it is very clear that that is considered abuse. So I think there are better ways to discipline children without having to resort to physical abuse or emotional abuse. So I certainly personally do not agree that you should hit children. I mean, I always ask adults, would you like me to hit you? No, right. Then why is it right for you to hit a child? Right, just because they have less power, just because they can't speak up, just because you think you own them, right? So I think it's absolutely a no-no to hit children. I think there are better ways, and parents and adults need to know of better ways on how to, so-called discipline children.
And what about the non-physical forms, such as verbal, emotional, and psychological? How do we draw the line between scolding and emotional abuse?
Yeah, I think the abuse, it really is the impact on the child, right? If some children react differently to the abuse or even emotional scolding and physical abuse, some are stronger, some are more resilient, some are absolutely not going to be able to take that kind of abuse. So basically, it really depends on the situation. But like I said, any kind of abuse, emotional or psychological or even physical, have an impact on the child's well-being, particularly psychosocial mental health issues. As you know, the Ministry of Health already repeatedly since 2017 has stated in their data that 20% of Malaysian children have some form of psychosocial mental health issues. Usually you need to be able to tell the signs of whether the child is, going to depression, the child is not talking, the child is showing signs of not wanting to be with friends. And so it really depends on different children react differently. So I think it's the adults who will need to learn on how to detect the signs of when a child is not, their normal self, right? And particularly parents in that case. How, if it's outside of the home, number one, in a lot of the centres that parents send to, they do not actually check whether the centre has a child protection policy or whether the centre is okay in terms of the way they treat children. I think it's very difficult for parents to check because a lot of centres don't allow parents to sit in or to even, query further on their policy for child protection.
So there is a perception that some amount of discipline is good for you. How do we convince people that there are long-term effects on a child who is subjected to abuse in these sorts of learning environments? I mean, what are these long-term effects on children?
Actually, the long-term effects would be definitely on impact in terms of on the child's well-being. The child may not do well in school. They may may go into depression and they may feel lonely. A lot of the calls that the child helplines get are because 48 to 50% of calls are actually to do with psychosocial mental health issues. So when a child is not able to process the emotional well-being, then it will impact on their other parts of their lives, which is their schooling and their interactions with friends and also with their families, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a long-term impact. I think it depends. There are a number of research that has shown the long-term impact on children. And so we do know for sure that any form of abuse, yeah, particularly emotional abuse, because it is not, you cannot see it as such as in physical abuse. I think there is not enough emphasis on studies on how our children are impacted by psychosocial mental health abuse.
So a lot of these classes are meant to nurture children to develop a particular skill or craft like dance, music or sports. So if a child becomes really accomplished at what they're learning, does that justify them being abused in order to achieve that?
No, nothing justifies abuse, even if the person is, you know, very good in the way they teach and all that. But it doesn't give them a right to abuse a child in any way. In fact, because they're in a position of trust where the parents trust the child with you, therefore they actually have a duty of care to make sure the child is safe. And whenever the child learns in an enriching environment rather than an abusive environment.
And what are some of the reasons why parents or other involved parties don't report incidents of abuse that happen in these extracurricular or enrichment classes?
A lot of parents don't report. A lot of people don't report. It's because, number one, it's actually fear that there will be a backlash. Number two, they may not know where to report and who to report to, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with also that if the person is very famous, if the person is very well-known, then they may not want to take action only because there could be repercussions, legal suits coming against them if they can't prove it, right? So I think there are many reasons why people don't report. But I think it's the government has made it so easy. You just call 1599 Kalyan Kase, and it's anonymous. Therefore, if the least you can do is to report just by calling the hotline, and then after that, the child protector will do the rest.
So in cases like this, can witnesses who saw the abuse happen, you know, for instance, other students or teachers, can they make a report? And what kind of information would they need?
Yes, anyone can make a report, not only the child or the people who know that the child, as long as you know that the child is being abused and if you don't have evidence, but you suspect the child is being abused, you can actually just call 1599 Talian Cafe. Because the law allows for suspicion, even not necessary that you have to prove, right? So I think the least that anyone else can do if they know a child is being abused is to call the hotline and report, because yes, your duty is done. But I think I find their fear because they're afraid that they may have to call to court and all the legal issues coming up, right? But I think if we don't start reporting, then the abuse will continue. You know, we will continue to have children abused until it can get so bad that the child may, in some cases, the children have died, right? So it's absolutely important for everybody to make sure that they know where to call and to report abuse, even if they suspect it. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Datin Wong. That was Datin PH Wong, a child rights advocate with Childline. And just to recap, we were talking to her about how to define and identify abuse when it comes to private extracurricular or enrichment classes such as dance, music, art classes, and so on. And this is in response to recent stories being shared on Facebook about alleged incidents of abuse at a local private arts institution which gives lessons.
Yes, and you know, just going on that as well, you know, Vijay messaged in to say that, you know, with regard to that case, you know, what's happening online, so many people have stepped up. He also said that it's definitely a trend of bullying, harassment and abuse that has left them with psychological bruises that's hard to heal. But he says nobody dares to mention the name of the school or the abuser in fear of legal retribution. What can someone do to put the abuser to face action? So I think Datin Wong answered that towards the end. You know, she did say, Vijay, to call Talian Kase at 15999. You know, even if you weren't there, I mean, even if you were a witness to it, you know, because she said the law allows for suspicion. So, you know, I guess it's a matter of getting together and actually making that bold yes. move, I suppose, right, yes. to actually go and do it.
I think it's incumbent on everyone to speak up.
Yes.
And I don't want to be glib, though, and say that, well, you know, why aren't people within those circles
exactly.
doing their job then? It may not be as easy as it seems. Like Datin Wong said, some of these teachers may be extremely influential. And there's that position of power and authority, isn't it? And mm-hmm. it's very hard to break through that. But I guess we need to realize whether you're a child who's the student or you're the parent, you have power as well. You have power to set things right.
You do. But again, you know, it also goes to what sort of relationship they had with their teacher as well. You know, it could be almost like a parent to them. You know, there's all this, I imagine there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of love involved as well. And there's, you know, and that translates into like, oh, I'm betraying you if I, yeah. So
how do we get past that?
How do you get past that? So I really think we need to, as parents, we really need to empower our children. We
yes.
need to tell them that that is not right behavior. But we have to believe it in the first place, of course.
Absolutely. And we have to be looking out for signs that something may be going on in these classes, especially if it's away from our eyes, right? We send them to these classes. We don't really know what's going on every second and minute. How do we tell that things are not right? We have to talk to our kids. We have to keep an eye out for even the most subtle signs that they may be unhappy, they may be trying to show it. But yeah, you're right. If they feel that if they feel that their parents are just going to say, no, this is...
it's part of it.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's how you learn. Yeah.
Then kids won't speak up because they think they don't want to let their parents down, for instance, or they don't want to be shut down.
Yeah, so I guess first and foremost, you know, parents shouldn't be allowing this sort of behavior in anywhere yes. that they send their children. I mean, they should change their mindset if that's what they think is right. I think because as, you know, as we've said throughout this conversation, that's really not the way to learn. It's not the only way to learn, definitely. And
it's not the only way to learn. That's right. Because I've been hearing some other, I don't know, perspectives from people who say, well, look at, say, Michael Jackson. Look what a big star he became because his father pushed him, right? But I can't think of anything that could possibly justify Joe Jackson's, the way Joe Jackson treated and raised, not even raised, just pushed.
Pushed his child. I mean, and look how traumatized Michael Jackson was. I mean, we've heard so many accounts of how he was traumatized by his upbringing.
And look at the ripple effects.
Exactly.
The impact of what happened on him and how it affected his relationship with others. And look at his the tragic ending of everything in his life.
Yes, you know, all that medication he had to take to cope with it, which ultimately led to his demise, which is really sad.
And I mean, it's also been pointed out, you know, if your argument is that the success justifies the abuse, well, how do you know that without abuse, perhaps they could have been just as successful, if not more so, and happy at the same time?
Yes, and we just did get another WhatsApp message that came in. Kumar says that he did call to report but was told by the care line to go and make a police report. So he would like to suggest that the helpline gave some better service than asking the callers to find help. But that thank you so much for bringing that up, Kumar. And hopefully that will inspire more people to take action as well. I guess also volume is important in these sorts of things
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, call every single line.
Yes.
Well, so on that note, another reminder to you know, just make the effort, report your incidents or suspicions of child abuse by calling the 24-hour Talian Kose hotline at 15999. You can also WhatsApp them at 019-261-5999. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have for this story. Keep your thoughts coming in. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back after some messages for our second story. But first, here's The Offspring with The Kids Aren't Alright, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.